This is Pamela Banos speaking as part of the Hidden Truths Project, and you are listening to commentary related to the Potter's Field Historical Marker, located in Lincoln Park, near the west edge of the baseball fields. Baseball fields have occupied this area since 1877. Through the years, the number of baseball diamonds has varied and have been laid out differently. In 1935, 9 diamonds covered these grounds that then extended south to North Avenue. What is notable about the fact that this area has stayed level and without many excavations or reconfigurations is that this location was the city cemetery's Potter's Field, and it likely represents the area where the majority of the graves from the cemetery remain. It has been broadly estimated that between 10,000 and 25,000 individuals were interred in the Potter's Field. A Potter's Field is a cemetery for the poor and the indigent. Chicago's Potter's Field was also available for single graves, for individuals without families, or for those who could not afford the 9-by-24-foot lots within the city cemetery that could fit 8 graves. In addition to single burials, the area was used for mass burials during the cholera epidemics of 1849 and 1854. The Chicago Tribune wrote this about the summer of 1854. The people died at the rate of 60 per day, and a death cart was seen continually in the streets. On Friday and Saturday, the 8th and 9th of July, the streets seemed full of hearses and coffins. And on Sunday, there was a grand exodus, many hundreds of people fleeing from the city. The deaths occurred so rapidly that at first no accurate count could be taken of them. The interments in the first week of July were 242. In the second week, 252. Of these, about 3/5 were credited to cholera, though there can be no doubt that the proportion was much greater. Of these 494 interments, only the names of 315 could be collected. In the remaining half of the month, the deaths were 434, total for July, 931. In the following month, the number of victims was reduced to 731, and in October, 159. The total death record for those 2 months was 966, large in itself, but scarcely greater than the month of July. These cholera victims were likely buried in trenches in the Potter's Field. Another series of mass burials occurred during the Civil War between 1862 and 1865, when nearly 4,000 Confederate soldiers who died while prisoners in Camp Douglas on Chicago's South Side were buried here. In George Levy's 1999 book, To Die in Chicago, about the history and conditions of the Camp Douglas prison camp, he tells of the confusion relating to the number of rebels who were buried here and the subsequent number who were reinterred in Oakwood Cemetery in 1867. The city officials accepted the lowest offered bid for the disinterments. More than one account told of coffins arriving empty at Oakwoods. Presumably, the required number of coffins were built, but not all were filled when they were delivered to Oakwood Cemetery. Careless record-keeping led to much confusion. On April 13, 1867, exhumations of the Confederate dead commenced. 17 days later, on April 30, the job was recorded as complete. George Levy believes that many rebel graves remain in Lincoln Park, below the baseball fields. After the exhumations of the rebel dead, the Potter's Field remained intact, even though no more burials were being conducted. It appears that the area containing the single graves looks similar to the family burial section. There were headstones and Victorian-style iron fencing surrounding some grave sites. Throughout the 20 years when the Potter's Field was in active use, from the mid-1840s through 1866, grave robberies were an ongoing problem. The grave robbers, also called resurrectionists, were presumed to be Rush medical students or men hired by them. The Potter's Field was the graveyard where the robberies occurred. In 1857, there was a notorious case that involved the city sexton, Martin Quinlan. The city sexton was essentially the superintendent of the cemetery and the chief gravedigger. Caught red-handed by Alan Pinkerton's detectives, Quinlan was found guilty of aiding the medical students in the trafficking of the bodies. At the south end of the Potter's Field stood the Pest House, near today's North Avenue at Astor Street. The pest house was a hospital for infectious diseases. The word pest is short for pestilence. At the north end of the Potter's Field, at approximately where today's northernmost baseball diamond is situated, was Chicago's first Jewish cemetery. It was bought for $45 in 1846 and occupied 9/10 of an acre. At the time it was established, the burials within the city cemetery were hundreds of feet south of this location. It appears that the Jewish congregation had disinterred their dead by the late 1850s when the graveyard was likely filled to capacity. The group continued to hold the title to this land, however, and it wasn't until 1882 that they settled with the Lincoln Park commissioners, selling the tract for $8,000. A better turnover deal was negotiated by businessman J.V. Farwell, who in the late 1860s bought what the Chicago Tribune described as about 7 acres of sand on the lakeshore north of North Avenue. Farwell built a pier at North Avenue that jutted out into Lake Michigan, and over time, the lake's current gathered enough sand into the crook of his pier that he acquired an additional 12 acres of land. Farwell reportedly paid less than $10,000 for the tract. Less than 10 years later, in 1872, the Lincoln Park commissioners paid him $100,000 to incorporate that land into the park. The Farwell Pier continues to be a feature of the shoreline, as is evidenced by the sweeping wing-like coil that extends out into the lake at North Avenue. 1872 was also the year that the Potter's Field disinterments occurred. The 1871 Chicago fire effectively ravaged the cemetery grounds, destroying and damaging grave markers. This event and its aftermath hastened the transition of the city cemetery and its Potter's Field into the Lincoln Park landscape. Like the disinterments of the Confederate soldiers' graves, the exhumations of the rest of the Potter's Field appear to have occurred faster than it would seem possible. On September 18, 1872, there was a Chicago Tribune article titled "The Stride of Progress, the Remains of Over 10,000 Dead Persons Still to be Taken Away." In the article, it was reported that 10 men were assigned the task to remove the remains from the Potter's Field. Stating that each man was able to remove 20 graves per day, it would seem that the necessary time needed to complete the task was more than 500 days. On October 13, 25 days later, the Tribune reported that the job would be complete within the week. Thousands of graves likely remain on this east end of Lincoln Park, extending south to North Avenue.